It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, on the beloved NSN app. And if you're traveling around the United States, like our guest is, you could utilize the NSN app and listen clearly to our broadcast from anywhere. Up to 30% of Israel's tech industry workforce was called up for military service, military reserve duty during this war. And now there's no doubt that it's taken an economic toll on Israel's technology sector. How do you run a tech company while serving in the army? Well, with us live via telephone is Israeli entrepreneur Amit Brandon Kadosh, who's in his 20s, by the way. He managed to complete an exit while stationed on the Lebanon border as a combat reservist, and a few hours after surviving an anti-tank missile attack. He's the founder of something called Encourse, E-N-C-O-U-R-S-E. It's an app that helps people find meals tailored to their needs and personal allergies in restaurants in their area. In addition to his personal journey, he certainly has a perspective when it comes to Israel's tech industry recovery during and hopefully soon after the war. Amit Brandon Kadosh, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How soon after the 7th of October did you find yourself in active reserve duty?
Oh, wow. So it came down to two parts. So the first few days, When everything happened, a couple of my friends, we decided as citizens to go to fight voluntarily in the kibbutz area, and that's what we did. I think 1 week after, I already joined officially to my reserve unit as well.
And that was always up north? Like any time you've served since then has been in the northern part of Israel?
Yeah. It was the northern part of Israel, fighting on the border of Lebanon. So I was stationed in Mount Hermon, which is the toughest mountain, the southern mountain in Israel.
Sure, yeah. We're very familiar with Hermon, that's for sure. So you're in your 20s. When did you first discover that you had this ability to advance quickly in the tech industry?
well, it's an interesting question. I think it's about the unparalleled curiosity that I had, and not the ability to sit on my tuchus for a very long time and always be active and asking questions and challenging everything. And that's one of the things that really like set the fire for exploration. I'm not calling myself an entrepreneur. I'm just an honest and modest businessman. So what got me into that was really the idea of how we can combine technology to really help in the simplest form to us, that can serve us and not vice versa.
It's interesting. Is this a passion that starts very early? Like, are you already thinking like this and, you know, getting excited about this stuff in high school and even earlier? Or is this something that happened post-Army?
Yeah, I think it happened way before the Army. My first business, I founded it when I was 14. It was e-commerce stores and Amazon stores. I was selling kosher canned vegetable food directly from Israel to the States.
What?
Via Amazon. Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did when I was 14.
Well, what city were you living in Israel at the time?
I was living in Afula.
All the way up north. Well, not as north as the Hermon, but up north.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been doing this for quite a while. Now, there's so much to talk about here in terms of both the Army service, the tech industry, and your personal journey. But let's stay with the personal for a moment. For somebody to end up, so to speak, with an app or with a desire to make it easier for people to tailor their meals at a restaurant, what's the road to getting there? Were you very into food apps? Were you, you know, what epiphany did you have that led you in that direction?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. So initially what happened, we weren't focusing on that direction at all. So what got me into that, first of all, I'm a big foodie. a really big foodie. I'm a big restaurant tour guide. That's one of my passions. And when, back in Israel, when I worked at the head of sales for agricultural food manufacturer, I saw during COVID there is a lot of food waste happening in retailers.
Right.
And initially I thought that I'm going to find a solution for that. I'm not going to create something on my own. And that's the really category that we're in it. Initially, we wanted to help retailers avoid food waste. And what got us to do what we ended up doing was the very close attention we put to our customers. And that was the holy grail for us. Always be customer obsessed. You know, the CEO of DoorDash always told me that. Always be competitor aware, but customer obsessed. That's how you win this game.
Right.
At least for us, and that's what we did.
Pretty amazing. You know, we're speaking with Amit Brandon Kadosh, who literally completed an exit in the app world as he was stationed in the Lebanese border as a combat reservist during this war. Excuse me for not installing the app yesterday. I should have when I heard about you. But explain essentially what NCourse does. What does this app do that helps both the consumer and helps cut down on waste from the retailer?
Sure, definitely. So give you a simple use case. Let's say that you are vegan, allergic to peanuts,
right,
like cilantro, looking for a $10 to $12 meal around downtown Manhattan,
right,
and you're looking for a kosher meal and you only eat two times a day.
Right.
So if you try, based on those preferences, to find the items that are relevant for you from restaurant, you have to start digging in into each individual restaurant, into each menu, and check it online. And it's a really big time consuming. So what we did basically is we took all of those preferences. We already searched all of the ideal meals for you in your search radius. And then we presented you the options on the platform, on the app, where you can directly purchase. It's like DoorDash on steroids without the delivery. That's mostly what we did.
Pretty amazing. I assume it's public information. Who bought your company? If you're coordinating an exit as you're on the on the Lebanese border, are you purchased by a company that we would have heard of, or is it a niche corporation that deals specifically in this area? Who is your partner in all of this?
That's a good question. So unfortunately, I cannot disclose the name of the acquisitioner. But what can I do? What can I tell you is one of the biggest POS providers in the state, along with a collaboration with an Emirate company, technology company.
Wow.
They bought the technology that we've built. So we've built the AI models that can really help people with their dietary needs, with everything, like every lifestyle and preferences regarding food. And that's the technology they bought. Like, that was one of the biggest innovation that there is to the market, and especially in the food and consumer industry.
But if you were to reveal it, just curious, if you were to reveal it to us, would it be a company we've heard of, or one that's really not on our radar as a regular consumer?
You push me to the edge over here.
I'm just curious if it's a company we would have heard of. I mean, that's a pretty simple question. Would we have heard of it?
Definitely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. So it's a company that's obviously well known. All right. So now, how does one do all this while serving in the Army? Is there a lot of downtime? I mean, I know obviously you need to be alert always. Obviously, we know, just based on what we've read and heard about, we know how precarious a situation it is for soldiers anywhere on any border in Israel. But is there downtime? Is there the capability for somebody to actually continue to pursue a hobby or a business or an interest while serving in the Army?
Yeah, so it definitely poses a challenge, as we can say, at least. But for me, what really was the tipping point is that I had a team that I can trust. And if you don't have a team you can trust, it really comes down to the team and the people you're working with eventually in order to coordinate such a thing. Running a tech company while serving in the Army was definitely challenging. That it was a challenge that not required just personal resilience, but also a collective effort from all of us. So we lean heavily on technology. We relied heavily on technology in order to maintain communication and everything. We wanted to make sure really, we wanted to ensure that our commitment to customers, partners, and investors were met.
Right. And when you mean your team, you mean the NCORS team. You're not talking about your fellow soldiers at the moment. You need to trust them as well. But you're talking about the NCORS team that was able to help you carry this out. And what about service? And I'm not joking around when I say this, because I know that soldiers very often, maybe it's not like this up north, but certainly in Gaza, we've been told, you know, there are times when they're without a phone, you know, for weeks at a time. And certainly I would assume that there are challenging areas geographically in terms of just maintaining service on your iPhone or Android. You know, do those two things prove to be an important factor in all of this?
Yeah, it is. Definitely it is. So the fact that we were able to maintain even basic communication. So the thing about Israel is most of our R&D was also in reserve. So we didn't have the idea of how we can even maintain operation, at least at the beginning.
Right.
But then we figured out, you know, the different time slot that everybody can join together, even if it's for a quick, really quick phone call. So we were really optimizing every minute and second that we had towards bringing the best impact that we can, even if most of the R&D was in reserve.
It's all about using your time well. I'm sure you have colleagues who used all their spare minutes to study Talmud, and others who used their spare minutes to write a book, and others who were pursuing hobbies, and others who were running companies. I mean, everybody, I guess when you have the discipline of a soldier, everybody tries to utilize every waking moment, because I know it could be an exhausting experience being a soldier, but they try to utilize every waking minute to its utmost. Would you say that?
Absolutely. I can tell you that the most fun time that I had, or even profound time that I had during reserve, is when I did my training every morning with all of my unit. That was amazing. Like that's one of the, you know, nicest memories I have.
What in the morning? Say it again.
Putting on my tefillin.
Oh, putting on tefillin in the morning with your colleagues. Wow. That is amazing. And yes, kol hakavod to everybody in the Army who has been paying very, very much attention to putting on tefillin and to really enhancing their spiritual lives. A tremendous inspiration for all of us around the world. Amit Brandon Kadosh in his 20s is founder of NCORS. You can look it up. It's an app that now is owned by some major company, and it helps people find meals tailored to their needs as it continues to expand worldwide, and we wish him a mazel tov on that. Now, obviously, you can talk about the Israel tech industry in general. I would guess one of the reasons that it has a reputation now as having really suffered from the war is because a lot of people are around your age, and there's so many in the tech industry that, frankly, you know, are spending time in reserves and on the front. I'm sure some in Gaza as well. I mean, is that what it is? Is it simply a manpower issue that's really, you know, making the whole sector suffer at the moment?
I don't think it's just a manpower issue that separated the sector. It's because all Israel is engaged. Everyone is engaged because, you know, it's very small community. Israel is a very small place. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have the cousin of your cousin happen to be in reserve, so it's all connected together because eventually you it's like one big circle. So I think everyone is engaged. And I think every business in Israel try to do their best to keep up with the morale and everything, and really focusing on the things that matter, at least in this time.
Are you worried about how Israel is going to recover from all this in the tech industry, or frankly, because of, you know, who's behind the tech industry and all the money that's behind it, they should recover relatively quickly?
Yeah, so talking about two different perspectives. So my perspective towards Israel in general is we definitely going to come out strong out of it, as we do always. You know, 2,000 years of exile, and we managed to do quite well.
Yeah.
So I believe we can do that as well. And regarding the business sector, yeah, of course, it's the market. So it's the marketplace. It's currently, you know, downtime in the market. But we're going to eventually apprehend it and win that as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's that we know. These battles Israel ends up winning, thank God, Bli Ayin Hara. Finally, my friend Noy reminded me yesterday in advance of our conversation that Israel continues to rank in 2024 very high in the World Happiness Report. With all this going on, the war, the economy, the effect on your industry and many others, how do you figure that Israel continues to rank so high when it comes to happiness around the world?
It's a question of itself, a very philosophical question. But I think it comes down to unity, resilience, and morality that Israelis try to present and pursue. It's part of our culture and something that you cannot take it, you know, for better or worse. And I think that's what it is, like basically unity, morality, and resilience.
You know, people who don't have friends, we normally think are not very happy. And Israel seems to be losing more and more friends as we go along these days.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
but we have each other, and that makes us happy.
You have each other, and that's all we needed.
That's all we need is right. Plus, of course, the one above, who should continue to make soldiers like you and all your comrades and colleagues as safe as possible. I meet Brandon Kadosh, founder of NCourse. Thank you so much for joining us. Kol hakavod, kol hakavod latzahal. And let's hope, in fact, that every industry in Israel, including the tech industry, bounces back as easily as they possibly can. After what we've seen and experienced over the last few months. Kol hakavod to you, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Amen, amen. Thank you for having me.
Amit Brandon Kadosh, in his 20s, founder of NCourse, somebody on the front lines, not just on the Lebanese border, but of the tech industry in Israel as well. JM in the AM, thanks for joining us, everybody.